It's Nolan and Nolan bringing you the PP3 podcast.
Welcome everyone to episode 9 of the PP3 podcast, hosted by Nolan Keough and Nolan White. Thank you everyone for tuning into this very, very exciting episode where we get the chance to go over the new VIJHL champions and all the latest NHL events, including the Madison Square Garden Massacre, Sid the Kid's late heart trophy push, and Poppy hitting the 60 goal mark once again. But first off, Mr. Nolan Wyatt, what's cooking, brother? How you doing?
Woo! We're back. Loving it, dude. What an intro once again. You're on fire with those. How you doing, man?
Good. You know what's funny? Everybody that's listening to that, that was our third time trying that intro.
I even took it for a spin and I messed it up on the seventh word, but that's you got to appreciate intros like that when you hear them.
I haven't been up to much, dude. School, we keep talking about it. Final 2 weeks. I can't wait to get this over with. Just like, I know there's a lot of students listening to us and they're in the exact same boat. Exam period's 2 weeks away. It's crunch time. So just kind of getting prepared for that. Might be getting out to the links on Sunday. Nice. Yeah, what about you, brother?
You know, everybody keep trucking along through school. Keep crushing the casual weekday beers. Yeah, I know I have. But yeah, man, nothing new. I signed up for a half marathon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so been going for some runs. Some of the boys are going to go up in Victoria, do it with me in October. So
yeah, I might join you.
Yeah, we're talking about it. That's one thing. And
what is it called? The Victoria?
Royal Victoria Marathon or something.
October,
but,
I think it's 13th?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I'm not in no shape to do the full thing. So we'll see if I can get the half one done. But signed up for that and getting kind of geared up to finish school, same as you. Got one big exam and then I'm out, and then back to work up north.
Yeah, that's exciting. Do you know when you're going back up to work?
Yeah, I got called the other day back to work April 28th, so right after my birthday there.
Okay.
Be nursing a two-day hangover probably on the first day back. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, I work on a fish farm boat with my good buddy Brett Arnett, who we had on the podcast here. And yeah, so getting geared up to go back to work and kind of looking forward to it after this year of school.
Yeah, let's get into our guest this week, Parker Klippenstein, Finn Klippenstein. Lots of social media recognition with this one. A lot of the Mill Bay boys are really excited to hear these two guys talk. Really successful year for them, too. Parker, his 20-year-old year, so he's hanging up the boots now. Pretty good 20-year-old year for the kid. And then Finn Klippenstein, he's was it 05?
05, so he might even be an 06, man.
He's still got a couple of years in the league, so over a point per game this year with KP on their top line. He's going to be a really good player for that team in the next couple of years. So
yeah, if he stays.
Yeah, a great interview that we had with them. Two guys that we love. Just really, really fun guys to talk to and be around.
So. Yeah, so yeah, as you guys heard in the interview, as you guys will hear in the interview, I lived with these guys at 602, but some of the stories were unreal, and these guys are two of my best friends. So glad we got to sit down with them and finally bang out this interview after their great year and push to the finals.
Yeah, let's switch over to the NHL. A big, big game of heavyweights last week. The New Jersey Devils versus the New York Rangers. Right off the opening faceoff line brawl. Rempe knew exactly what was going to happen with McDermott. Just coming off, I think it was a 5-game suspension. Dermott called him out in the media before when he got kicked out, saying that he lost a lot of respect for him. So you knew it was going to be a bloodbath right off the get-go. 156 minutes in penalties in the first 5 minutes of the game.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. The first period ended with 162 penalty minutes. Holy fuck, what a... Did you see the highlights from that game?
I saw it, man. Well, I didn't catch the game, but, like, you didn't have to catch the game to see what happened. It happened in the first second of the game. Like you said, McDermott knew that he was going for Rempe, and he knew he was going to have to answer the bell this time after being ejected the last three games now against the Devils, which is just a crazy feat overall. But yeah, he knew he was going to have to answer the bell against a pretty tough customer in McDermott, and he did, and everybody else squared off. So it was pretty clear that tensions definitely boiled over in that one, and you could see it coming from the puck drop.
Yeah, funny stat with Matt Rempe. In the three games he's played against the Devils, 5 minutes in total ice time, 47 penalty minutes. He's been ejected in all three games. Just craziness. The fans were chanting Rempe when he was fighting. Line brawl. He spoke after the game saying he had a lot of respect for the guys that went out there and fought with him. Just a fucking shit show. I don't think I've watched a line brawl like that in forever. I think the last thing that reminded me of was when Torts went after the Calgary head coach. I forget what his name was. Healy, maybe, or not Henley, sure. Something like that.
But yeah, dude, that was the last time anything kind of that I remember anyways, at least right off the draw. Like, everybody out there knew they were going to have to go. And do you see Keandre Miller doing the too small thing?
No, I didn't.
So after he fought, who was it? He fought a small guy on the Canes.
Was it Marino?
Yes, it was.
It might have been Marino, yeah.
Fought the smallest guy on both benches. And then after he fought him, he got him down and was doing the too small, like the basketball celly. It was crazy. You just fought the smallest guy in the ice and you're sellying.
Yeah, that was a super exciting game. Rangers take that one in a big, big game. And wild card race is starting to heat up again. I hate the Penguins, and like everybody knows. And I don't know how they're still in it. They're 2 points behind Philly right now for the second wild card spot. Tampa Bay's clinched the first wild card spot as it stands. They still have a chance to go over Toronto for the third place in the Atlantic, but Washington's still in it. Detroit's still in it. Buffalo is still in it. Devils are kind of out of it now. 76 points in 76 games. They've got a 500 record. It's going to be really tough for them to get on a hot streak and get back in. Yeah.
The Devils, I saw today, have a higher percent chance of the first round draft pick than making the playoffs now.
Yeah, that's crazy. Just tough for that fan base with the highs they had last year and the hopes that they go in with this year, not being able to find their game, not getting any goaltending, injuries with Jack Hughes, tough to see. And Washington, I don't know. We talked about it last week. It's just a shit show for that third or second wild card spot. Philly's in it right now, but they haven't been great.
No, they've been very struggling.
Have you been able to see any of this Russian goalie play?
I caught his first two periods today against Buffalo, and I also caught him in relief against the Islanders.
How'd he look?
In the relief against the Islanders, coming in for Arison, I believe, he went in and he answered the bell. He let in two goals on, I think, 24 shots. He stopped a lot of like very grade A opportunities. And then today in his opener, his first career start, he let in a couple softies, 4-2 final, I believe it was, with an empty netter. So it wasn't a terrible game overall, but I'm pretty sure that Philly outshot them. Am I right?
Philly outshot them 34-19.
Yeah, and it was like I was watching it and it was domination, but that game was completely on him. He threw it away, unfortunately. But like I said, there's bright spots. You see a 6-8 goalie and you just gotta like trust the process.
So funny with that, apparently he is 6'8". That's what he was listed at in the KHL, but Philly listed him at 6'7". Yeah. If he was 6'8", he'd be the tallest goalie in NHL history. So that was a little funny to see.
The Russian wall, man, he's huge.
He is massive. He's a big boy. And I did see that highlight from the Islanders game. His very first stop in the NHL is against Matt Barzal on a breakaway.
Yeah, I saw a funny tweet saying that Danny Briere has done more for the America-Russian conflicts than the government, by bringing over that guy, because he was a highly taught like guy that Philly had, and he couldn't come over because of all the conflicts over there. So for them to finally get it done after, like, I think they said it was 2 or 3 years in the making to get it done, is pretty cool.
Yeah, I was looking at his stats earlier. He won a KHL championship, and then he also won 2 goalie of the years, I'm pretty sure, over in the KHL. So I think he's got the resume.
I think he's still shaking off the jet lag.
I think if Philly can re-sign him this offseason, because I mean they only signed him to a 1-year deal.
They
for
need
this
a number one.
Yeah, with Carter Hart gone, you don't know how that's going to go. So if this kid can find his game, you know how much of a cheat code 6'8 goalies are, 6'7 goalies, right? Just from playing Chell and looking how much of the net they take up.
It's crazy, especially with today's pad and equipments, man. They fill everything. It takes a lot to beat those guys. So I really hope he does find his game and stick in Philly, because Fedorov?
Something like that.
Anyways, him and Michkov playing together, two Russian boys. Yeah, wow. Maybe there'll be some chemistry. Maybe the Broad Street Bullies will come back.
Yeah, that'd be pretty phenomenal to watch. Couple teams that clinched playoff berths. Winnipeg, they clinched a playoff berth last night against Calgary after their win. Pretty cool story to see. The fans not being sure about what was going to happen this year, right? You can't sign Hellebuck. You're not having good negotiations with Mark Scheifele, and then you make a big trade with Pierre-Luc Dubois, bring in Gabriel Vilardi and Iofalo.
Yeah.
You bring in Iofalo, and then you end up signing Hellebuck. You end up signing Scheifele, and this team just looks amazing.
Not to mention Tyler Toffoli.
Bring in Tyler Toffoli and Sean Monahan. Yeah. This team is going to be trouble in the playoffs.
On paper, they're a wagon. Yeah. And like, especially backed by Hellebuck, who is my favorite for the Vezina this year for sure. They're a force, but like, you see them go through the slumps. I mean, I guess that's the same with every team out there, but when Winnipeg's on, they're a scary team.
Yeah, talking about slumps, the Florida Panthers, 3-6-1 in their last 10 games. They just won a game today, I believe, or yesterday. They broke a losing skid there against the Senators, 6-0. So they came out hot there, but I don't know. I think they're going to do fine in playoffs, just because you look at what they did last year. When they're healthy, they play a fuck you game that we love to talk about. Nola, what do you think about this team?
Oh, Florida's struggling right now. Like you said, their record's pretty abysmal right now. But like you and I talked about earlier before starting up the show, Florida's a team that has that dog mentality, that playoff mentality to just go out there and win and kind of will their way to get through games. And I think that they need to get back to that. Like, watching them in the regular season this year, they haven't been playing with as much tenacity and the stuff that kind of drove them into the finals last year. So I believe that if they can get physical and they can get banging bods again and just get back to their game plan and what works, then they can get hot and go on another run.
So let's have our predictions right now for who's going to get into the playoffs for this year. Islanders are third right now in the Metro, 83 points. Then you got Philly at 83 points in that second wild card spot. Just behind them, Washington, 82 points. Then you got Detroit, 82 points. And then you got Pittsburgh, 81. Buffalo, 79. Nolo, I know you're a Flyers fan. Do you think your boys are going to pull it off? Or no. Do you think somebody else gets in?
I haven't looked at their schedule in a while to see who they've got next. But just looking at it, man, and the way they've been playing lately is just terrible. Like, terrible lately. Their last 10, they're 2-5-3. They just can't seem to close out a game. They've taken a lot of guys to the extra point, but they just can't close out games, and they're throwing away leads. It's tough to see based on how hot they were at the start of the year, and especially right out of the All-Star break. Like, directly out, they beat Florida, and now they can't even beat any of the mediocre teams that they need to be winning. And even against them on the other side is teams like Washington and Detroit and Pittsburgh just keep winning while Philly keeps losing, and it's turning out to be a very, very close race.
Yeah, talking about Pittsburgh, only player I like on that team now other than Gensel, but obviously he got traded. Said the kid, he becomes the only NHL player in history to have 19 consecutive over a point per game season. Did I say that right? Over a point per game season? No, that doesn't sound right.
19
consecutive over point per game seasons.
That's insane.
Yeah.
19 consecutive? You see the only other guy on the list to do that?
No, he is the only one.
Really?
Over a point per game.
Oh,
so
over.
There, in 1995, Gretzky had 48 points in 48 games. So if you're going by just point per game, it's Crosby and Gretzky. But Crosby's the only player in NHL history to have over a point per game season for 19 consecutive
That's
years.
That's insane. It's bananas. Sid the Kid just keeps on finding a way to do it.
He's carrying this team on his back, and I mean, he's working himself up into that Hart Trophy conversation. If they get in, I don't think he's gonna. He won't win it, but he's got a good chance to get nominated at least with, probably Mac and Kucherov and McDavid in that top three, and then right behind there, you got to have Crosby.
Yeah, he's pushed the bus all the way in. He's led by example, and he's just been dominant. And I think they're rallying around that, realizing this is kind of Pittsburgh's last kick at the can. Kind of last-ditch effort for Sid here, especially with Guentzel gone now. They're going to be struggling a little bit in the next few years in the regular season. So they're really playing for Sid right now, and that's my opinion. I think they want to get it done for him, and I agree with you. If he can will them into the playoffs, then he's got to be in the conversation at least.
Yeah, I agree. Over a point per, that's just craziness, it's crazy, dude. It's when you really think about that and put it into perspective, 19 straight years.
Over 82 games.
It's hard to even play 10 years in the NHL, never mind have 19 years where you consistently
it's
lighting
it's,
the league up.
Yeah, it's hard to have a 10-year career.
Yeah.
And then he's doing this 19 years straight. And yeah, that's why he's one of the GOATs, man.
So we put a poll up on our Instagram when he clinched the 82-point mark about where he stands all time. A lot of people thought he was between that 3 and 8. Those were the two most selected options, top 3 and between 3 and 8. So, Nola, where do you think Sid lands all time?
I ranked him in the top 3 to 8 as well. I think Gretzky's better, and I think Lemieux's better, and I think that McDavid's better as well.
All time already?
Well, yeah, I know he's. I think he's going to be, but obviously Jagr's up there. There's a lot more. Gordie Howe, like, there's a lot of people he has to beat still. But top 3 to 8, like, sure, he's arguable in that top like 3-4 spot. I agree with that, but I think that puts him in the 3 to 8 conversation. What do you think?
I might be a little bit biased just because, I mean, Sid the Kid's golden goal was the reason why I got into hockey. So I'm putting him at 3. I think it's just what he's been able to do. Two Stanley Cups, having consecutive point per game seasons, just putting the team on his back. I got to give him the respect there. So I'm putting him at 3, right behind Lemieux and Gretzky, but there's an argument for top 5 or top 10. I get where people are coming from with that, right? Obviously, you have legends like Gordie Howe and Bobby Orr even, right? So
yeah, I agree with that. Speaking of another guy in the Canadian team, Austin Matthews, he hits 60 for the second year in a row. This guy just cannot stop scoring.
No, he's got 63 goals in 74 games right now. He needs 7 more goals in his last 8 games to hit the 70 mark. Nolo, what do you think he does it?
Hit 70? How many games does he have left, sorry?
He's got 8 games.
I think he can.
7 goals in 8 games?
I think so. He's done it time after time. He could score 3 hat tricks in a row.
Yeah.
He did it at the start of the year. But I don't know. I might be biased because I want him to do it, but I believe he can do it. I'm not saying he will, but I definitely believe that it's possible.
He definitely could. It'd be the first time in, how long? I think they said like 40, no.
It's been a long time.
I think last time was maybe Timo Solani.
I can't even remember.
I think it was when he had, I think he had 72 in his rookie year. Yeah. So do you think if Matthews hits the 70 goal mark, are you putting him top 3 in your heart?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're having 100%. What? Who would you have? McKinnon? Cooch.
McKinnon, Cooch, Matthews, probably.
But what if McDavid leads the league in scoring? You're not even going to have McDavid in your top 3 for the Hart if he leads the league scoring?
How many? Dude, 70 goals? Okay, maybe not the Hart. But definitely, like, that's just insane.
It is insane. Well, I mean, like, McDavid, I think there's only 5 other players that have gotten 100 assists. He's going to do that. He's, I think, 3 assists away from clinching that 100 assist mark.
Scored his 30th of the year.
Today? Yeah, against, who are they playing?
Colorado.
Colorado. It's hard. It's going to be a hard argument to make for all those. But I think Mac has got it. I think he's got the Hart sewn up. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard not to give it to him. But there's an argument for all those players. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the NHL writers vote for that one.
Yeah, it'll be a toss up for sure.
Yeah. Next a congratulations, but a sonk at the same time. Jeff Skinner playing 1,000 games in the NHL, huge accomplishment, but you look into it, he hasn't played a single playoff game in his NHL career.
That's so tough, man.
1,000 NHL games, and you don't even get to hit the postseason?
Well, would you like to see Buffalo get in?
I would love to see Buffalo get in, but they're not going to do it this year.
It's possible. They're not.
I don't think they're going to do it.
They could.
They could. I don't
think they will.
Yeah, we were counting Pittsburgh out, and look at them. They're only two points out.
You never know what's going to happen.
That the Eastern wild card race right now is just fucking stupid.
They won
stupid.
Today. Big win against Philly today, so keep that in mind.
Yeah. What do you think's crazier? Jeff Skinner playing 1,000 games without a postseason game, or Rempe averaging 9.5 penalty minutes for every minute he plays against the Devils?
That's per every minute?
Per every minute that Rempe plays against the Devils, he averages 9.5 penalty minutes.
I think that Skinner is more impressive.
Yeah, I would agree.
Just the longevity.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, just the longevity of 1,000 games without a playoff game. Like, Rempe's is low-key a fluke. I think it's not going to – he'll play a game or whatever, and he won't get kicked out. But to play 1,000 single or games without a single playoff game is just absurd.
Yeah. Okay, moving along to our NHL trivia segment just before we kick off the interview. Noel, my question for you this week. Wayne Gretzky was the fastest in the NHL to score 1,000 points, which he did in his first 424 games. Who holds the record for the second fastest to 1,000 points?
Ooh, has he played in the last 10 years?
No.
Canadian?
Yep.
Mario Lemieux?
No. He's a legend.
Gordie Howe?
Nope. It's going to blow you away.
Sidney Crosby?
Nope. What was the question? Okay, Dice, you want to guess? Wayne Gretzky was the fastest in NHL history to score 1,000 points, which he did in his first 424 games. Who holds the record for the second fastest in the NHL to 1,000 points?
1,000 points. Old?
Not old. He played – he's an NHL legend. He's top – he's top 10. I think if I say any more, it'll kind of give – maybe not give it away, but it'll give you a good hint.
Messier?
It's low-key a trick question.
Was it Wayne Gretzky again?
It was Wayne Gretzky again. Wayne Gretzky again. He got his next 1,000 points in 433 games.
Oh, my God, dude.
So he was the first fastest and second fastest to 1,000 points.
Oh, my God.
That is crazy.
And now we're going to throw it over to the guy that's actually got traded with playing the least amount of games per team. My boy Parker Klippenstein's coming to join us today with his little brother as well, Finn Klippenstein. These are two of my good buddies, as I mentioned before. I lived with these guys for a year, and Parker's one of my great buddies, and we got a hell of a story, hell of an interview with these two, and we got lots to jump into, considering Finn had a great season with Carey Park, and Parker just was a dog in his 20-year-old season after pretend hanging up the boots, pulling the Tom Brady on the boys in Oceanside, and then going up to Carey Park. But shipping it off now, Parker and Finn Klippenstein.
Joining us now are two ex-Oceanside Generals players who had fantastic years with the Carey Park Islanders, leading them to a VI Finals berth for the first time in over 15 years. Please welcome to the PP3 podcast, the Klipsack brothers, Parker Klippenstein and Finn Klippenstein.
What's up, boys?
What's up?
Welcome, boys. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're big fans of the show.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. We know we couldn't pick you guys off when you guys were in your playoff run, but now that everything's said and done, we appreciate you guys taking the time to drive up and sit down and have this conversation with us.
So let's get right into this year. Pretty cool stuff from you guys, both being top players on your team, being brothers. How was that?
It was pretty sweet. Thought it was going to happen in Oceanside a couple of years ago.
Yeah, sound correct.
A little let down there, but not a dream come true.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because especially like you hit us all with the fake Tom Brady. Like after we won it last year in Oceanside, Parker said, "Yeah, I'm done, boys. Like that's it for me. I'm not playing again." Sure as fuck, he gets traded like midsummer to Carey Park, and the boys are like, no way. And then Carey Park posted it, and it was for both the brothers. So I was like, all right, Parker's going to play. And fucking play you did this year, man. You had a great season with the Islanders. 37 games this year. You had a career-high 34-point season, 13 goals and 21 assists, not to mention 112 PIMs. And then your little brother, Finn, who's here with us as well, even better season. Sorry, bud. 40 games played, 21 goals, 35 assists for 56 points. And just shy of your brother with 108 PIMs. So very, very respectable numbers from both of you guys. So, yeah, it was really fun. Like, I know being in the league on Nanaimo, I weren't on a contender. So watching you guys rip it up in Carey Park was super exciting this year. So fucking congrats on the great year this year, boys.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, bud.
And you guys, so you guys didn't play on the same team, but you guys played in the same organization with the Tips. So Parker back in 19. You played with U16 team, 14 points in 30 games, and then Finn, you played 2 years, 2 years with the Tips back in 2021 and 2022. So yeah. That was the COVID year in 21, right?
U15.
So you guys were just practicing?
Yeah. We played 5 or 6 games against like PCHA and South Island.
Was there any good players on your team?
Well, we had Groomer.
Okay, yeah,
Groucho. B-show guy now.
Yeah.
And we had Fellbaum was on our team at that point.
So a couple of VI boys
right now.
Yeah.
But we were pretty solid, I'd say, if we had a season. That's like one thing I like wish COVID never happened.
So what was it like for you going from two kind of half years, well, one half year and then a full year, and then jumping into junior? I know we were on the same team in Oceanside at the start of the year, and things didn't really go as to plan in your rookie season. So you played 2 games with the Gens. I remember you scored the greasiest goal I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, and then
you didn't even score it, did you?
I don't even know if I did.
Let's go over that story. So it was in Lake Couchin, right?
Yeah.
So Vanny had a point shot, and then
I was like behind the net-ish, and I went off the end boards, and like I
might
have whacked it.
Yeah.
Like as it went back to the goalie's pad and it just went right
in. Just remember Finn behind the net swinging his axe and the puck somehow found its way in the net and we're like, oh, fuck it. First VI goal. Yeah. It's better than Vanny scoring.
Yeah, Vanny had enough. So.
But yeah, and then not too long after that, Ricky gave you a shout and he released you from the Gen. So what did that do like motivation wise for you for the rest of that season and for your career overall? Like, did that motivate you, put a little bit of fire in your belly?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably one of the biggest like turning points in my hockey, like first real experience with junior hockey.
Yeah.
It was pretty shocking considering I had you and Rosser in my house and everything. Yeah. So it was pretty tough at first.
Before we move on to kind of 602 and a bit about Clippy's career, after you got released from the Gens that year, you got picked up by the Bombers. I remember there was a lot of kind of debate about where you wanted to go or what you wanted to do after getting released from junior, but you went up to the Bombers and honestly, pretty weak team in Port that year, and you played 35 games with them and you put up 16 points. So realistically, that's pretty solid numbers for a rookie on a struggling team. And on the other side of the board, Parker last year in our championship run, Parker played 39 games and had 15 points and 40 PIMs. pretty gross. Like you said, that was definitely a motivator. I think I could tell for sure, and just the strides you took this season in your points and everything off the ice, it was definitely a big jump. So thanks Ricky for that one.
How do you like playing for Galen, because Galen's kind of the enemy on all the Gens teams?
It was tough because like obviously you guys were like so tight on Gens, and it was like pretty fun at the start there, especially with Parker. And then but I would say for more of like a hockey standpoint, it was probably better for me. I don't think I would have played 35 games. I wouldn't have nearly as much as that if I was stayed on the Gens. So
and Galen, you like playing under Galen? Was Galen a good
young guy, like helped out skills wise and all that, so it went well that way. He was good. He give it rattled.
He's a pretty emotional guy. Parker, we didn't forget about you, bud. Like Nolo said, good year with the championship team under the Gens. Let's go over that again. We ask every guest that's been part of the Gens just how close that team was. How was your Gens career?
Couldn't ask for anything better, to be honest.
Yeah.
Making the finals both years is sick too, but not even with like the success of the team. Not even the success of the team, but just the guys. Just a bunch of beauties.
Who did you know on the team when you first came on to the Gens?
I knew a decent amount, cause, like, we all played tips together. So, like, I say I knew, like, probably 10 guys.
Okay.
In tips, yeah.
Yeah, Clippy, one of the guys I didn't really know coming in. Like, I didn't really know you before you joined the boys. And I just remember at main camp before our championship season run, you were still hurt. And I remember you hanging out in the dressing room with me and Milos and, like, all those boys. And, like, right away, you just fit right into the group. And then, sure enough, me and Rossi that year, we were back in Camel River. We're working together. And we have no idea where we're going to live that season for a 19-year-old year. And then Parker shoots us a text. And he goes, sends a big video of his new place. He said, 2 spare rooms or something like that. And we're like, no fucking way. So sure enough, me and Rossi ended up living with both these guys last year. And man, do we have some stories about 602 Hillcrest that we'll bring up as we kind of get along here.
Yeah. One thing that you were known for. So the first year with the Gens, I wasn't super close with you.
Yeah.
Right. So I'd say that championship year, I got pretty close with you. Mm-hmm. And so the first year when... And it was the same thing this year, I'm assuming. I didn't watch many of your games, but just knowing how you are, when you get mad on the ice, there's like, it's like the Hulk almost, where he's like, he's normal, and then you can just see his eyes light up, and he takes like, you skate really mad.
Yeah, I know.
So
it's
when
not you, pretty, but yeah, I get going.
And then you go, and you just run kids. It's so fun to see. But so many times you got... crates or lems from the Clippy, come to the bench, Clippy. It's like almost like Tweaker Wheel.
Meanwhile, Clippy's got tunnel vision. He's a minute and 40 seconds into his shift trying to kill somebody.
He had that Lucic chest pad too.
So was that always a part of your game? Did you always have that little fiery edge to your game?
Actually, not at all. Like, especially when I was younger, I was like, I'm very relaxed, super chill, and like nothing really pissed me off or anything. But I don't know, it's just in, once I joined the Gens, really, I don't know, someone pissed me off, I like black out a little bit. Yeah.
Did any of your kind of style of play come from just like the Gens style of hockey? Like, we ran a lot of a physical style, and like for you to stay in the lineup, like, you and I know we weren't really skill guys, but for you to stay in the lineup, which you did quite often, you just had to be a horse out there, like back check, forecheck, running guys through the wall, and just like doing whatever it takes to win. So that's how I remember you as a teammate, is just like the true teammate, true leader. And everybody that we've talked to on Cary Park says the same thing about both you guys, just great teammates, and Parker especially, just a great leader as a 20-year-old. So honestly, yeah, now that we're sitting here, I just wanted to say congrats on the career, bud.
Thanks, man.
How does it feel that it's kind of, has it soaked in yet,
the
year being over?
A little bit. I was kind of, you're never sure going through playoffs, so I was kind of like getting ready for it, like each round, like not sure if this will be my last round or not. And once it happened, kind of, it's hard to know what it actually feels like till it actually happens.
Yeah.
But I'm all right. I had a good time when it happened, and it's over, and I'm not that upset, to be honest.
No. So, yeah, you guys came in as the bottom South team in the playoff format. So did you guys feel like underdogs going into that?
Because
me and Nolo, we were all over you guys. Like, we knew that you guys were going to have a special year just because the way you guys play and the way the Cary Park Islanders love to play every year.
Yeah.
And we knew you two, especially Parker, with this year, you would fit right in with that team. And you did. So that first round against CR, how did you guys feel?
First two games were not pretty. Like, no. we didn't, I don't know if we got more than like 2 or 3 shots on net over the whole two games.
We got pointless for the first two games.
Both of you guys?
Yeah. Our whole line, like, we couldn't get anything going. We didn't have a lot. We were pretty down.
And we're like the only, well, not the only, but we start kind of our team.
Like more of the offensive line.
You guys were really relied on.
The big deals.
Yeah.
You can say it.
Got the big clip sack.
Yeah. So you guys were pretty relied upon for goal scoring. Who else was your third line mate for a lot of the season?
Wingfield.
Yeah. And he is a stud. He had a great round, especially after those first two games. Like, you guys were all held off the score sheet pretty well. But then game three, shit really opened up. And all three of you guys, Wingfield especially, was lighting up that first series, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And honestly, yeah, I actually heard a funny story about the first series from one of your boys. So either game one or three here. Apparently, there's a big scrum in the corner there, and Finn was the one that was supposed to be getting kicked out of the game and getting all these penalty minutes. Yeah. But Parker, same last name, just a number off on the jerseys, and you just got off the ice, and it wasn't even you, and you soaked all the penalties and got kicked out of the game, but it was actually Finn that did it. So you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, because I just came off a five game suspy.
He just came off a big suspy and doesn't look good if he gets kicked out the very next game. So I saw my opportunity there and I took it.
So you knew
I knew what I was doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So did you get a suspension?
No.
You just got kicked out.
Yeah.
So what was the score of that game?
4. I can tell you. 4-1.
We lost. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was game 2.
Yeah. Or no, it was game 1 because it was in CR.
Oh yeah, so game 1, yeah, we lost. Yeah.
It was third game back from a suspy.
Okay. Yeah.
So
He's been on the kind of a hot seat.
Yeah, I had 6 or 7 missed games due to suspensions.
Yeah, so I knew I was in the better books, so I just went out, man. Screw it.
Yeah. So you guys ended up winning that series against CR, and then have a really tight series against Comox. Both you guys suffered injuries in that series, both concussions. What were you guys doing? Because, I mean, I was injured for a majority of my 20-year-old year, and I know how much that sucks to miss out on games that you want to be a part of, and I couldn't imagine during playoffs, right? That's the most crucial part of the year. So what were you guys focusing on to bring to the team and kind of get the boys going? Like, what were you guys doing?
Like, when we were out?
Yeah.
It's tough when you got a concussion because, I tried going on the bus in one of the games, and it just, the ringing and, it gets hot in there. It was not, a good environment. Mm-hmm. It started to hurt my head and shit, so. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. You can't, yell, get the boys going because you kind of want to just heal as quick as you can to get back. But I definitely, felt separated. I missed the boys. And it's, game 7 series, so it was, 2.5 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. So I didn't play one game in that series. The boys got it done, so.
Yeah, concussions are kind of tough because it's not like you can play through them.
No.
If it's a tweaked shoulder or a tweaked knee, you can grind through those in the playoffs, but you really can't fight through a concussion.
No.
So both you guys being out with concussions, Clippy, I'm almost positive, Parker, that you weren't ready to come back when you did.
I wasn't
you get
I was a little excited to get back.
Yeah,
and I definitely wasn't throwing hits my first game back because I wasn't totally confident.
Mm.
Just a lot of cross checks here.
Yeah,
and there.
Yeah, a little any chirping.
But yeah, I was just really excited to get back because I didn't want to not know when my last game was going to be.
You guys weren't sending any Ross text messages into the group chat?
No, no.
Trying to get the boys going?
We ain't got no
love you boys. Yes. Yeah.
After every loss.
So, Clippy, heading into this year, there was a little bit of uncertainty whether you were even going to play or not, right? After the Gens year, you weren't 100% sure whether your heart was in it and whether the Gens were going to keep you, and you ended up going to Cary Park. And what was that adjustment like coming from such a close team with the Gens where you played 3 years with or two years with and knowing a lot of the boys, staying close with them, to now getting shipped off and playing with a whole different team? Yeah, how was that?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You don't see a 20 bum be on a new team for his last year, typically. But it wasn't even a gray area. I was 100% sure that I wasn't playing again after the Gen season. I hung him up. And I was working up north, and I got a call from KP, and they're Rick actually asked me. He's like, can I trade you to KP? I was like, trade me wherever you want. I'm not playing. You get anything for me, it's fine. And then I heard they traded for Finn too. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll actually debate this shit now.
And your dad lives up there.
He lives like right by the rink. So I was like,
yeah, it was almost storybook that you guys ended up playing together for your last year. Like Finn said earlier, it was supposed to be in Oceanside, but it ended up being in Mill Bay, so that was pretty cool.
Never
like,
thought of that.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
It was
that
really
coming.
Fluky that it just actually like, all happened.
Just talking about it too, I remember this. When it happened, well, I got a text from Port. Well, I got traded first, and then I got a text from Port at 10 p.m. I was driving like with somebody, and it's like, hey, Finn, I sent you to Cary Park, all the best. And like 2 minutes later, get a text from Coxie, like, welcome. But yeah. I'm like, holy. And then I like didn't really talk too much and they announced it.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even talked to my mom. Like, it was.
Oh,
like,
yeah. She got pissed that I we didn't tell her about it.
I was really? Working at the golf course. I was driving like, on the range.
Yeah.
Picking up balls. And I'm like, fuck, like, my mom's rattled. Like, I haven't talked about it. Like, yeah.
She has to find out
online.
I'm
not even sure myself, like, yeah. What's going on here. So, that was a pretty stressful moment.
Looking back on it, are you guys glad it happened and played
Big
out
time.
The way it did?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And, like we said, Jens were a tight-knit group, and, like, you had your boys. But who were your guys' kind of close friends on the Islanders team? Like, who did you find yourself hanging around with off the ice?
The boys were pretty tight.
Yeah, actually. It was yeah. A lot of the guys just met each other.
Yeah,
but
a lot of it.
Everyone
guys.
Clicked pretty smoothly, actually.
Yeah,
like,
pretty quick.
Yeah, the whole dressing room's like talking with everybody is pretty nice. But a guy who actually surprised me was he seemed really quiet, and whenever I've seen him around, Sandy.
Sandy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy, he's the biggest creature. Once you get to know him, it's a. Just the character, man. That's one guy.
So, yeah, speaking about Sandy and all your boys, we reached out to a couple of your teammates here because they knew you were coming on. They're stoked to listen to this one with you guys. But good story we heard. Pretty sure it went down with you and Sandberg. But one night, I was told to ask you about the first time you went downtown in Victoria. And this is my rendition of the story. I was told that you went, partied all night at the Duke downtown with the boys, and you had a great time. And then you fell in love for the night. Then you refused to go to the casino, so you got dragged to some chick's house with one of your teammates, which turns out was Sandy, correct?
Yeah.
And then from there, you weren't allowed to stay at said girl's house, so they dropped you off at West Hills, where PCHA plays. And if you know where West Hills is, it's surrounded by huge fences and like kind of like a gated community in Langford. But from there, you decided to climb over 3 10-foot fences and you ripped your pants.
Yeah.
And this is all going on, keep in mind, he's got to be half-cut, like drunk, and he's walking around Langford where he doesn't live, no idea. And he shows up at Jack Strom's house at 4 in the morning, and apparently you wouldn't stop throwing little tiny pebbles at his window on the second floor to let you in at 4 in the morning. What do you got to say for yourself?
It's a night to remember, but... my phone died like right when we got downtown, so like the whole night I didn't have a phone, and I didn't know how to get to Jack's house, but I know like in car, but I know how to walk there from the rink. So I was like, oh, you guys can drop me off like at the rink, and
it's kind of weird the roads there.
Yeah,
so you got asked to drop off,
or well, I asked them.
You asked
them? Well, they're like, where are you staying tonight? I was like, shit.
The roads in there are confusing.
Yeah,
I mean, you realize you weren't getting the invite over.
Yeah, yeah. Classic third wheel moment there. But so I get dropped off at the rink, and normally there's no fences, like it's a path, but I guess it's all closed because it's like 4 in the morning. So I had to hop these few fences, and like I'm wearing Sandy's clothes. Sorry, buddy, I got a few rips there. But and then I walk down the road like 20 minutes or so, and pull up to Jack's house. I don't know if he's awake or not, and the door's locked. Like, I can't ring the doorbell at 5 in the morning. His mom's gonna be pissed. So his window is right above the front door, though. So I was like throwing rocks at it, try and wake him up. Sounds like a movie kind of, a little romantic.
Classic.
Yeah.
Ross would do.
Yeah. And thankfully, he woke up because came down to let me in.
Yeah. What? So you slept on the couch or something, or what do you do?
Yeah. So I was testing his like parents' car doors and stuff because I didn't want to sleep outside. They're all locked. I didn't know where I was gonna end up. It worked out.
There you go.
And Finn, were you hitting up any player sisters this year, or was that just on the Jens team?
Sound.
I'm just messing with you.
Never happened.
Yeah, Gus exposed them there.
So who would you say your closest boy was this year, Finn, on the KP team? Because you were kind of the same situation as Parker. Yeah, right? You get thrown onto a new team, not really knowing who any of the boys are.
Yeah. Like I said, I couldn't say, like, if I say one guy, I'll think of another guy. Like, they're all just beauties. But I sat beside Auden Capel in the room. He's from Norway.
From Norway?
Yeah.
Does he have an accent?
Yeah, he does. Oh, yeah. He can pull it out, but he's a beauty, big time. Met a lot of good guys, like Winger and Ross. All the guys from the coast are beauties, so.
And I heard you had a superstition before some of your games. You would go on polar dips with Boychuk and Brown. Oh, Chuck.
Yeah.
So elaborate on that.
Yeah, I did it once with Ross and Winger, Cam Ross, and Winger didn't play well, I guess, and he's like, fuck that, I'm not doing it again. So I don't even remember exactly how it started with us three, but one game we did it, and I think it was started against CR, and then we won, and then we kind of just kept doing it, and it didn't even become like a, actually, like, for your body, it just became like, we have to do it.
Just to the call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, me, Chucker, and Brownie would go down and do the ocean dip and hang out a bit, and then it just, like, helped us get dialed and stuff.
It did help you?
And it just made, you know, when you do whatever your routine is, you, like, feel better about the game. Yeah. So, and I, forgetting about what it actually does for your body, I guess.
Yeah.
It makes your legs feel good, so. Gets you back into it, especially when I was sitting out for 7 games.
Speaking of getting ready for games, Clippy, I heard you weren't taping up the big clip sack this year in the dressing room.
Yeah, you know, the old hip finally worked out.
Worked out at the right time.
Yeah.
Right on,
finally,
dude.
Over it.
Yeah.
So last year, there was a pretty funny story with Rossi. And me. So me and Braden Ross, we worked together at Junk in Our Trunk here in Nanaimo, BC. So I picked him up one day because, you know, when you're with Rossi and you're making plans, Ross is the boss, right?
Oh,
like he takes over. Like, he go around
his schedule.
His plan it's his schedule, right? It's his world.
If he has to stop at Starbucks.
Exactly. And you show up 15 minutes late wherever you're going. But he thinks it's fine.
Yeah, his coffee's more important than being on time for a video session anytime last season.
Yeah. So, I picked him up from work one day, or for work one day, and so we worked the day, and then I go to drop him back off after. So I'm like, oh, is Clippy home? He's like, yeah. So we're walking up to the house, and you see the TV's on, so we walk up, and we see Clippy on his phone, so we're just standing there, we're just, like, making, like, kind of funny faces, waiting till he's going to see us. And then he's, like, on Snapchat and the boys, seeing the group chats or whatever. And then he goes off onto Instagram, starts scrolling on his Explorer page. And then all of a sudden, some pretty lady shows up, clicks on her account, starts scrolling down. And then he starts going on, like, all these, like, OnlyFans models Instagram pages.
Just
scrolling through them with a half chub on. Just low-key stroking it.
It wasn't OF girls, man. It was
just Instagram models?
I remember this.
Same thing, bud. Come on.
I remember this. I was watching this Barstool video, and it was pretty funny. And I'm like, yo, the girl is actually, she's funny, but she's a rocket.
I know exactly who you're talking about. And, the one that does the public pranks.
Yeah. And I was like, damn, like, she's funny, and she's actually hot. And so I was just checking her Instagram, just, like, casual, like, I don't know. It's good for her, you know. you don't see that often, you know. Only the rockets.
What, a
like
horny 20-year-old scrolling on Instagram?
Yeah, you know, you get home from work, you're a little bored. You know,
go for a stroll.
Get a little excitement before dinner. You know?
So as I mentioned, me and Braden Ross lived with Clippy's family last year in Nanaimo on Hillcrest. It was a pretty iconic spot. Once Finn got traded to Port Alberni, we didn't see as much of him. But the three of us, we had some funny stories, and I got two stories I want to bring up. One involving just you, me, and Rossi, and then another one involving Finn as well. So the first one, I just remember this, like, just this is a funny story that just kind of shows what Parker, how Parker is as a guy. So Parker was working on the north side of town, and it was a fucking blizzard in Nanaimo this day. So Parker's driving his old... His old sedan, and it's dumping snow. And me and Ross and Finn are home, and we're like, "Where's Parker? Where's Parker? Oh, his phone's probably dead because this guy's notorious for not having any battery on his phone. Yeah, we couldn't get a hold of him, and sure as shit, he's like 2 hours late from when he's supposed to be home. It's dumping snow. It's a blizzard. We're like, "Is this guy okay?" And then he, sure, right as we're talking, like, "Where's Parker?" The front door swings open, and there in walks Parker. Looks like an abominable snowman. He's covered in snow from head to toe. The dude got his car stuck in the snow all the way up by, like, NDSS and had to walk all the way in the blizzard back to our place. And I remember him opening up the door just covered in snow. And he's like, "Fuck that!" And he comes inside. But this guy trekked, like, probably, like, 3K in the snow. And that's pretty least. Funny.
What was... I want to hear, firstly, from you two, what was living with Ross like?
Well, I didn't know him that well either.
Guy like, gets sick.
Like, when he...
first year?
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of, like... We're buddies, but, like, we're not super close. So I didn't really know, like, his high-maintenance schedule or anything, right? But I guess one story to sum up, like when he just moved in,
this is funny.
I was brushing my teeth, and he comes into the bathroom, and he's like, "Yo, like, where do you get that toothpaste?" I was like, "Oh, it's right at the sink." He's like, "Oh, that's like my toothpaste." And I was like, "Dude, are you serious?" I just opened up my home to you, and you're pissed off. I'm using your toothpaste,
right? Yeah, not to mention after he got all butthurt about us using his toothpaste, like, we're like, "Dude, we'll buy you another tube. It's $3. Relax." Yeah. He was so fired up. He wouldn't let us. He would take his body wash and shampoo out of the shower and hide it so we couldn't use
classic
it.
Classic in the dressing room, too. Yeah.
Dude, and in the dressing room, like, "Bring your own." Everybody just would grill Ross about this stuff. But one of the things, this is the story I thought you were going with, was right when we moved in, like, I didn't know Parker's mom at all when I moved in, so I was just, like, really easygoing, and, like, whatever goes around the house goes, and it works for me, and whatever she, like, makes for dinner, I'm happy with.
Yeah.
Ross, on the other hand, Ross, on the other hand, one night, Jen's, like, Parker's mom's, like, Parker and Finn's mom's like, "What do you guys like for dinner? Like, if I make pasta, like, do you guys like beef or chicken, or, like, what do you guys like?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good with whatever." Like, and Parker and Finn are like, "Yeah, whatever, mom. Like, I'm easy." And Ross, like, cuts her off mid sentence, goes, "Yeah, Jen, I like to do, like, pasta and chicken and beef." And this was something we grilled him about the whole year, was because Ross, just a classic Ross story. How about when he said you'd find him in the kitchen?
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, Finn, tell us that story.
Yeah, well, I don't know much about the story, but just like anytime it just became like a house joke, like, "Catch me in the kitchen."
Yeah. Well, yeah, when he first moved in, he was like, "I don't know why we would, like, our house isn't that big, like, we're not gonna lose you," but he's like, "If you can't find me, you guys, like, just, like, look in the kitchen. I like to clean up every now and then."
I don't, like, think you never caught that guy doing once. Yeah. Not once.
No.
So let's hear some stuff from Noel. So you guys live with Nolo and Ross, like, that that sounded like an absolute time.
Yeah,
tons of videos and stories that we can't share, but what was living with Nolo like?
It was just a good time, man.
Yeah,
it's like being in, like, a stand-up, like, comedy show.
Another brother, like, not that Ross isn't a brother, but
yeah
not a brother you have to deal with.
Our living room, his bedroom door is, like, right behind the TV in our living room. And we'd just be out there chilling, playing Skate 3 or some shit. Yeah. And he'd just come out in his underwear, just barrel out, and just sit down with the boys and just vibe out. It was just a good time, yeah.
Yeah, we had some absolute rots on that couch at 602, yeah, man. Some of the funniest stories of my life would come from that place. Dahmer like series, like yeah. when the Dahmer Netflix show came out, the three of, or the four of us sat down on the couch and we binged it. Yeah. And I remember Finn was freaked the fuck out. Like, Finn's a young, young kid. We're 19. We're like, this is whatever, but Finn's like tweaking, he's scared. And yeah, would it be crazy for me to kind of start going into the 602 story?
It doesn't involve anyone here, so
Fuck it, I'm going for it. So the four of us live together, as we've mentioned. Another story that's hilarious. Ross had this girl. Me and Clippy told him, don't match with her on Tinder. Yeah. He went ahead and did it. Yeah. And things went a little sideways, to say the least. But one night, she was crazy. She was stalking Ross, essentially. But one night, me and Parker are sitting in the living room. It's late at night. And we, like, dab each other up. We're like, okay, night, dude. Heading to bed. And we walk to the bathroom, brushing our teeth. And I'm walking back to my room. And I see out the windows, I see a car pull up and like somebody walking towards our door. And then I see a camera flash, and Parker saw it too. And it's this crazy chick that's stalking Ross. And Ross, we just hear him from his room on the other side of the house. What the fuck? She sent him a picture, and it was the front of our house. So she was stalking us. And me and Parker were like getting held back by Ross from chasing her down the street.
Was I sleeping or was I there?
You were there.
Yeah,
is that true?
It's true.
The classic picture of Ross.
There is a classic. I love that photo.
You gotta post that.
That was a night that just had the boys, like, it was right after Christmas, I think, and we were more hyped up than Christmas. Yeah. To be honest, it was
hilarious.
So one thing that Ross was known for in that house was sleeping on Noel's bed. Yeah. Was he ever sleeping on one of your guys' beds?
No, definitely not mine. Me and Finn are sharing a room. We both had a single bed. So
I had a cat issue.
No one wants to be in there, man. Oh yeah,
I had the cat issue too.
Yeah, we got a new cat.
Oh yeah, our house. Was not.
Oh,
very,
yeah. What about all the animals in that house? Yeah. How many animals were in that house?
So, my sister moved in with her boyfriend because they were going to school in Nanaimo.
Yeah.
They were just supposed to stay for the school year. And they have four cats and a dog, I think. Bubba. And my mom has two cats, and I don't really
like
cats
dogs,
at all. And small dogs are okay, they're kind of annoying too. Now our house is full of them, so it's just a shit show. And I'm just thankful that's over.
One of them shit on my bag right before we were going to play. That's why I had beef with that thing.
Our sister's cats didn't get along with my mom.
There was serious scraps.
Honestly,
in the middle,
that one. For a good chunk of that year, including animals, there was probably 16 lives living under that roof house. It was a gong show, but it was the best. But moving on a little bit from 602 here, back to the hockey stuff. So, Parker, obviously you were known in Oceanside as kind of a muck and grind guy, third line, fourth line energy playoff guy. Yeah. But when you got to KP, you kind of got put into a different role. Like, I remember coming to watch you, me and Ross came to watch you play the Bucks. And for some odd reason, you were on the power play, and you were killing penalties, and you were playing 20 minutes, and we're like, this guy's brand new. And this is hilarious. I watched you get a 2-on-1 with somebody, and you guys are up by 8 goals or something like that, but instead of taking the easy backdoor feed or shooting it yourself, you tried to go between the legs, which is definitely between the legs, chel glitch pass across the ice, which is definitely not in your category. That's not in your bag. So being on a team where you're more relied upon, did you find that you kind of found some skills and confidence that you didn't have before?
Finding skills, I don't know, but maybe finding confidence. Yeah,
totally.
It was a cool experience. I've never really had anything like that. In Jens, I take pride in my glassing out and forecheck, but I don't know. They kind of just expected me to be a skill guy because my little brother is really good.
Yeah.
So they kind of just expected
that. He had to learn it from somewhere.
So I guess it was just kind of a cool change up to be trusted in offensive situations.
I'd say one of the best net front presences in the league.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Net front X factor.
I would just be sticking out on half, just looking for an opening. Parker's just soaking cross checks. Like, it was just like free roam. Like, I could shoot wherever I want.
And along from being a net front presence, something you're remembered for was always getting the boys fired up. And I'm going to post this video on the account after. But where's the origin of the skillet? Like, where does that come from? Because whenever the boys were down or needed a boost or we just had a big win, the first thing I always heard was Clippy just, skillet! Like, where did that come from? What made you start doing that?
I don't know. I kind of just stuck with the boys at school, I think. Yeah. And, like, whenever you'd get hyped up, you just say it. I think...
isn't it from that movie?
What? Or,
like, Scary Movie, I think it's from...
Oh, really? I have no idea.
Lil Pump?
Yeah, I think it's where we got it.
He had a song of it, too.
Like, skinny.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
We would kind of, like, joke about it there, but, like, we're not Lil Pump fans by any means. No. But it was just kind of funny, like,
Pump some Gucci
Gang. Yeah, you would hype us up, so just kind of one of those random-ass words that just stuck. And
yeah.
Were you doing the same thing this year?
A little bit, yeah. Our team, it was a little bit different this year. Like, Jens is a bunch of, like, animals. They're not the average kid. It was on the generals. Boys are just like barking, making random animal sounds in the tunnel, like just confusing the crowd probably on Jens. But KP was the boys are a little more settled. Me and Finn so went in there and got it buzzing in the tunnel before the games. That's when it's fun to get hype. Headbutting each other, barking, and probably weirding out a few people. Yeah. Like,
A couple little birds.
Yeah.
So, another thing I wanted to bring up, like I said, we reached out to a few of your boys, and one of your guys said to ask Finn about your kind of relationship with Higgy the coach. What was it like? Apparently, he loved you, but would also love to fuck with you in the room. So, you got any stories about that?
Sometimes I wasn't having it, joking around. I'm just, like, tired. We had, like, 9:30, like you guys did at the Meek. Late 9 o'clock practices. Yeah. He did it with everybody. He's kind of, like, put you on edge. Like, what do you want me to say here? Yeah.
Like what?
He asked, how you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... Yeah, he would just like
just fuck with you.
Yeah,
like little things, like hide your skates or something like that. Like,
yeah, he didn't like if you had your equipment on the ground. He didn't like that.
Yeah,
but one time I remember he telling me it was like a late night, long week probably. We had late practice and Higgy asked Finn. He's like, "So Finn, are you all right? Like, how you doing?" And Finn's like, "Yeah, I'm good." And he's like, "Sir, are you all right? Like, are you okay?" And Finn's like, "Yeah, I'm good." Like, quit asking me. I'm all right.
Yeah.
Another thing like that got mentioned with no context was Senior Shrimp Whitney. What did that come from?
I don't know where these boys came up with this, but before rookie party, they're like, they've never done it, but it's just a meme. They're like, "Oh, we're going to do Shrimp Wits," which is like a pink Whitney shot with a shrimp in it.
Oh.
And I don't know why it came up.
Last night, you guys were crushing these things?
We had a few, And
that's fucking wrong.
It's just beauty because it's so hard to do. And, like, it just tastes like straight shit.
So it's like, not even to, like, get a good buzz on. It's, like, it's a challenge.
Yeah, there's no, like, secret, like, it gets you wrecked or anything. Like, it's just fucked. You just earn your stripes by doing it, I guess.
And that one time you were doing it, and you dropped the shrimp on the garage floor. But you're like, "Let's go, boys." Never finished. He picks it up and eats it.
So, backtracking a little bit, since we're on the topic of rookie parties, one story that just always like comes up when we're talking about Clippy, Parker, of course, when we're talking about like the videos and stories, one video that always surfaces is that rookie party at Arnie's house, like, 3 years ago now, I think it was, and we all had to wear diapers at our rookie party. There was no Shrimp Whitney's there. It was diapers and booze. And you disappeared for a little bit, and all the boys were hanging out in kind of like the garage area, and then you come stumbling through the door, and you're soaking wet, your diaper's sagging, and you're like, "Where's the dryer?" So, like, you have any stories from that rookie party that, like, you remember?
The night's a little bit of just a blur, but, like... just like what you guys talked about with Arnie the last epi, at the start when we had to jump in the lake, do that little swim, like, that's probably the biggest part. That was just like super fun, like seeing Van Herk look at death in the eyes. And and not feel bad about it. You just kind of think he'll make it, like, it. He'll get there. Give or take, he'll get to the dock.
Where but, were you in that?
I was a little bit in the middle of the crowd. Like, I did it right, I think. But that would probably be. The next
floaty between your legs.
Yeah, the next day, it's pouring rain outside. There's like a bunch of puke on the porch just because everyone is buzzed. And we tell Nabber to go out and hose it off. And it's like, so Nabber's in bare feet and sweatpants, and it's just pouring rain like a storm. And he has a hose. So the hose isn't doing shit. And there's just puke everywhere, and he's just getting soaked out there. That's the funny part, too.
I remember what Nola was bringing up. We all had pizza in the kitchen, and then all of a sudden Clippy Parker comes around with a pink helmet on, I think it was, and his diaper it's like barely hanging on, like you can see half a nut and his ass cheeks out, and just the memories from that were so fun. I think that's when I think back on hockey, it's not so much the play, it's just like the boys
and not at all stories. That's what I was telling the rookies this year, like, it's tough to lose in the finals, but like, when you look back on your career after you age out, you're not like, oh, I wish I got more ice time, or it's stupid I was on power play 2, not power play 1. You don't think about that shit. You think just like the dressing room, the fellas, and like, that's all that actually matters.
And that's a great take. And what you said about losing in the finals, it's not the end of the world. You can bounce back. Like, I mean, you're done. You've got your ring. You went to the finals 3 years in a row. I don't remember the last time a player's done that in the VI.
Legendary
stuff from Parker Klippenstein. But what do you guys think about next year? Like, you're done, of course, Parker. You're hanging them up. It's grind time now. But Finn, you still got a lot of promise in the future here. What's next on the move for you? What's your goals in hockey? And how are you gonna get there?
I mean, obviously it's the jungle, it's tough to get out of whether you do good or not, but I mean, I feel like I still got a lot of work to do, but I feel like I have what it takes to get to the next level. But just gonna try to put in work throughout the off season, get even better, and then hopefully get to junior A, whatever league it is.
So the last hockey question I had was for you, Finn, and I remember playing with you in preseason against the Buccaneers. We had a sick tic-tac-toe play. It was you, me, and Carly.
Did we?
Yeah, did we? Oh, yeah. I scored, so I remember. I got it on my camera roll.
There you go.
Yeah. And I just remember the amount of times in that preseason and the couple games you played in the regular season, just the balls you have going up the middle of the ice all the time. Like, you don't see that very often with rookies, right? Usually they have they're gripping the stick pretty tight and they're doing the easy chip outs. Like, your confidence, you see that this year being over a point per game and 15 assists last year with the Bombers in 35 games. Yeah, you always had soft hands and just a good presence on the ice. So was that confidence in your game? Have you always had that? Or is that something that you kind of just went into junior hockey thinking, well, if I want to make a name for myself and if I want to play consistently, I have to kind of find that confidence and find that drive to...
Yeah, well... Like I said about the U15 year that I wish COVID didn't happen, that would have been like a big, I would have had a year like I did this year. I feel like top like player on the team, but next year when I made U18, it was like I was fourth line kind of. But I would say if I didn't make that U18 team, I wouldn't be nearly as like what I am now.
It was a good development year.
Pushed you a little bit.
We had a good coach there, and then the U17 team, I don't think, won a game.
Who's your coach that
Ben Walters?
Oh, yeah.
Were we skating together? You and I?
No.
Was that the year when I came down from the Gens and Trombley was on the team and Lavery and
all those? No, that was Mason
after.
Windsor.
Oh, okay.
Dante, all them.
Yeah.
But, I remember that though, being on your line, and I remember you getting a little bit out of like, simple it up.
No, I would. No, there was one play where you had a turnover. I think maybe we got scored on or something like that. I was like, "Fuck! I was open, Finn."
I've let him know a few times.
Coming into the junior B, like you trying to like, I guess confidence, but stepping into like the role this year, I didn't think. I mean, I told Parker, I was like, I want to get 30 points this year.
Like, yeah, that was his goal.
That's my goal, and then it kind of just went on from there.
Yeah, you kind of crushed that. So you're sitting at currently 83 points in 96 career games, right? Or, sorry, 94 career games, which is, like, no easy feat. Like, yeah. You already have my career points almost doubled already in 1 year, so yeah. Snaps to that. But, yeah, dude, like, we wish you all the best, whatever you kind of choose to do in the future. Yeah. You're a 2006-born player, so there's a lot of future there for you. So
thanks, boys.
Do you guys have anything that you wanted to bring up, or any stories you guys kind of came in here thinking of, or anything you wanted to ask us?
No, what about that time Henry got mad at you for not picking up the pucks?
You were telling me about this earlier. Well, at the end of practice, every practice,
he didn't treat, there was like no 20 bomber, like rookie. Yeah, the new thing, I guess. Yeah.
We do it every practice, which is kind of a drag. Normally, teams do it like the last practice of the week or something. But we do this thing: you bring the nets up to the hash marks, and you do two
team
laps.
Team loses. It's like every practice was a competition.
Yeah.
Every practice there was two teams.
And you do two laps, like, with your color around the nets. And, like, the last two people have to pick up the pucks in the race. And I was one of the last guys. And so he's like, it's like 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a 20 bomb. people out here... My bad. people like to shoot pucks out and like take one timers after practice for like 20 minutes, even half an hour sometimes. So I want to get home and get to sleep. So I'm like, I could leave, get home, and people will still be on the ice.
They let you on
just
the
messing
ice
around. So anyways, I go in the dressing room. I'm in the shower, and Higgy comes in the dressing room and he's like, Parker, the pucks are still out there. That's not fucking good enough. I was in the shower like, I'm a 20 bomb. I'm not waiting to pick up fucking pucks. And he was just rattled about it.
Did you get in shit for that?
Yeah.
They had a big 20s meeting.
I had to get dressed like in my normal clothes. And he called all the 20s into the coach's room and like,
Parker
let me
didn't
have
step
it.
Back,
no, he's like trying to fish out an apology from me in front of everyone. I was just like, I wasn't giving it. So I'm a stand on what I said.
Stood on business?
Yeah.
Clipsack X Factor.
Yeah.
So how was your guys' coaching this year? Did you guys like the coaching staff?
We had to give it to him. Yeah.
He was a good mixture, like, between head coach and assistant coaches and stuff. Like,
he's a smart guy.
Henry, he was a really good coach and like took the reins really well, and he'd like pump the boys up really good, like pregame speeches.
Nasty pregame speeches.
Like this guy, he definitely took like public speaking classes or something.
Really?
Yeah.
You feel like you're in like Miracle on Ice before every game. So it's like big speeches.
He wasn't eating dog food like Rito?
No.
He's like, finds a way to make it different every time, too.
I kind of feel like that must have played a factor in your guys' success
this
year.
Because the boys going.
Realistically, on paper, you guys weren't a finals team this year. No shade to anybody on your team, because like, I have a lot of respect for everybody.
I agree, though.
But you guys were, on paper, were not in the finals conversation at the start of the season. And I think that comes a lot from the coaching staff, and it trickles down to your veterans like yourself and like some of the other 20-year-olds. So like obviously what he was saying, you guys must have got through, because you guys all pushed the bus as far as you could have this year with what you had, and the run you guys went on this year was really special in my opinion.
Was there anything you guys wanted to add about that series? Obviously it's fresh and might be a little bit touchy losing the way you guys did, but was there anything you guys wanted to touch on about that finals?
Talking about Parker like career ending and you don't know when it's gonna happen, we like hugged it out, all that like good career, but when it was like done game six when we lost
game
what, 5-0
game five,
and or you played, but you went out with a concussion
game
six, was
it
and he was were just like good job, man. Like we did not,
because he was going into game seven
in
against
Comox. We were there.
Like our lineup was
warm up.
Yeah,
the boys warm up was not dialed.
Yeah,
Stinnert came out on the warm up with no blades on.
Like there wasn't
and
much.
It was like 5 minutes late. No blades. He falls on the ice. Has to go back. Puts his blades in.
And what a game! Game seven was for you guys. Like you guys were both out, but like all these
and winger
kids.
like that step.
That's what I love to see. Lotto, like, Ross, just the character wins like that. Like, I love seeing that. Like, 100%. Other guys have to step up. Like, I love to see the other guys step up and like take the ropes a little bit.
That's the making of championship. That's championship. Teams.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You need four lines and four or three pairings and two goalies. Like, everybody needs to be able to go in and give a shit every night. So, with what you guys had this year and with the returning core next year, what are you guys' opinions on how you go next year? Like, do you guys think you'll be making another run next season?
Well,
there's not a lot of returning guys.
No,
it's going to be a pretty new – it's kind of like a Gens this year, like a pretty new team, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if I play in the VI, I'll play KP. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't necessarily – want to.
Yeah, I fully understand that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, dude, like we said before, wish you the best of luck, Finn, in the rest of your hockey career. And I know I'm speaking for myself and Kehoe and everybody else that's played with you and against you. Clippy, what a fucking career you had, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Balls of steel. Greatest teammate I've ever played with. And just a lot of respect for you, dude. So great career there. And Finn, best of luck in the future. And I'm going to pass it over to Keezer here.
Thanks, I got one final little thing I wanted to touch on. Because I sat with you last year just when Nola was bringing up about how good of a guy and teammate you were. And like what I mentioned earlier in the podcast, how we weren't super close 2 years ago. And then last year we started to get close. And I think that was because I sat beside you in the room. And one thing that I remember vividly, and I guess that changed this year, was with your hip. But constantly you wouldn't wear underwear.
Yeah,
under your gear. So you're taping up.
I still
and
do that.
We call him Clip Sack because Clippy has the biggest nuts I've ever seen, and they're just staring. Like I'm putting my skates on or something. I look beside me, and I got two massive set of balls just in my face. While you're like wrapping up your leg or whatever, so I just wanted to touch on that because I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, me and Dice used to call him the Booners because we'd be on the other side of the room and we'd see his big ball sack across, and it looked like a baboon's butt, big red butt staring across him. So me and Dice are like, "Oh, the Booners are out." So like we said, snaps to the Booners, snaps to your fucking career, dude. Three VI finals appearances and a ring to top it off, and Clippy, Finn. Whatever points you have so far, it's a lot, and you're not done yet, man. Nope. You got a lot of junior hockey left, so round of snaps for both of you guys. We appreciate you guys taking the time to join us.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks a lot for having us.
This thing's sick. What you guys got going here.
Yeah, thanks.
Good job.
Love what we watch every EP. Love to see you guys' road to the top here. Awesome. Keep it up.
Yeah, we love you, boys.
Thank you.
If you need a media guy, just hit me up. I'd love to hop into this.
Yeah. Thanks again, though, boys. Thanks for making the drive and joining us tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Love you, boys.
Big round of snaps for our boys from Cary Park, Parker and Finn Klippestein. Once again, what a time chatting with those two idiots. Yeah, that was a good one. What did you think of that, Keezer?
Love talking to those boys. Just great guys, funny guys. There's always good vibes around those guys.
Clippy's just the best dude you can like think of. He's just always a good time to be around. So yeah, it was fun. Glad we got to sit down and chat with them.
Yeah. Moving along to the VI, Nolo, you paid attention a lot more to this finals. I heard it was an absolute barn burner game six, but congratulations to the Sanish Predators.
Yeah.
After losing to the Big Bad Generals last year, they come out firing in this VI Finals. And what a great game to cap off Game 6. But, Nola, do you want to give a little breakdown of the Finals?
As we touched on it, we could have seen this going either way. And honestly, man, it honestly could have. But like you said, round of snaps to Sanish Predators. All respect is due there. Like, what a team they had this year from top to bottom. Starting from the back end, like, Vanderlei was unreal for them all year long. And just their forward group, like, Westhaver just being absolutely dominant this year. And Crawford and Grambart coming over from Peninsula was just an insane add. Like, those are the kind of things that shake the league up, and it really did this year and put Sanich kind of in a league on their own. And it was, yeah, it's good to see those guys win. It was cool to see them throw the trophy up. I know the feeling that they have winning that thing because – we did the same thing. We lost 3 years ago to Peninsula in the finals, and we watched them celebrating on the ice. And then the next year, we're like, fuck it, it's our turn. And then we went and won it, and they were watching us. And then they got to go do it now. So don't be surprised if next year Cary Park's knocking back for the VI championship. But yeah, game six, that's all I want to talk about. The first five, or game, sorry.
Game five.
Game five, sorry. The first four games were just like tight-knit games. Only one wasn't decided by one goal, and two of them went to overtime in the series here. So game six sees Carey Park leading 4-2 with 2 minutes left. It looks like they're sending it to game six at the Big Stick in Duncan, where it was going to be held, and it all looked good. And then 2 minutes left, Ryan Grambart strikes again. He tied the game late in another game, and with about 2 minutes and 19 seconds left in the set or third period, he bangs one in. Greasy one in front, gives the Preds bench some life. And then who else but Grambart again, with 18 seconds to spare in the third period. He ties the game and sends it to overtime. And after that, like, you got to believe that Carey Park's on their heels. They're like, man, we just squandered it. We just squandered to give us ourselves another game. So they're on their heels. They're nervous. They're a young team. Like, I don't think they responded to the pressure very well. One of their rookies, Tokic, took a run at a guy with the puck being like 4 seconds gone, and just like a stupid play to do in overtime. And yeah, and then Sanich just pushes one off the draw. Bang, Ethan Taylor bangs one in. He's a guy we've competed against the last like 3-4 years in the VI, so must be a great feeling for him. But yeah, it was a great finals, man. It was great. Before we move on from that, just a huge round of snaps to Carey Park's 20s. Parker Klippenstein, Jack Strom, to name a few, Tyler Nakatsu, and I'm probably, both the Hovde brothers, and there might be one more that I'm forgetting here, but round of snaps to you, fellas. Great career. It was a fun time playing against you guys, so congrats on the run this year, boys.
Yeah, good cap off there, Nolo. I didn't get to see much of the finals. I saw a couple highlights of the two overtime goals in that series, and then obviously I saw the tying goal by Grambert, and then Ethan Taylor with the winner. Magical stuff there, right? Like, same thing that CJ had last year, right? That feeling of
same,
getting that winning goal.
Same net, same rank, a year apart, man. It was pretty storybook for those guys.
Yeah, and what a great year for Jack Westaver, that captain, finishing off the year. He's a point per game in the playoffs. I saw he got injured.
He did. He hurt his shoulder, I believe. He wasn't even playing in that game five, but his arm was definitely strong enough to hold up that trophy afterwards.
Yeah, I saw that with one arm.
Love
flinging
that
it
shit.
Up.
Love that.
Yeah, a dominant regular season by him. 33 goals, 37 assists, and what trophy did he get this year? Was it the...
He got MVP, I believe.
He got MVP,
I believe he did. And, it must run in the family. His little brother, 2006-born Jake Westaver, stepped into the playoffs, and he made an impact. For being an 06 that wasn't around the team the whole season long, to jump in, and in the regular season, he had a goal and 3 assists. And then this year in the playoffs, in 17 games, he had 12 goals and 3 assists. 12 goals as a 2006 as an AP is just incredible stuff. So tip of the cap to him as well.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to have to reach out to Jack or one of the 20-year-olds on that Preds team and try and get an interview after their provincials. Yeah. Do you know where it's hosted?
It's being hosted in Kimberley this year.
Okay, so that should be a fun time for
those
boys.
Too sure about the KI teams. Three of the teams are confirmed now. Obviously, Saanich, and then Ridge Meadows takes the PJHL, and Kimberley will be there as host, but I'm not too sure who's won the KI yet. But yeah, exciting stuff. So we'll pay close attention to that, and definitely got to catch up with one of those boys from the South to see what it was all about.
Yeah, good summary there, Nolo. This is another week wrapped into the books. It's cool to see all the progress. We keep saying it, but we keep getting more followers and more listeners, and we're looking at our downloads, and our monthly downloads are going up. We got subscribers, numbers are going up, and it's cool to see us on the charts when we do release and see us constantly in that close top 60 in Canada. So thank you, everybody, for the support.
Yeah, we appreciate every one of you listeners here, and we actually got something special for all you guys. By the time this episode drops, there'll be a post up on the Instagram, but the boys are releasing some limited edition CCM PP3 hats. They're coming out soon. We've got them. We got two for ourselves right now, and we'll be really excited to share these with you guys, so stay tuned for that as well.
Yeah, and hopefully if there's enough interest, we're going to make some golf shirts or some tees. Like, we got a couple tees that we're wearing right now. We did put out a post originally, but there wasn't a ton in it ton of interest in those. So we're hoping as this channel and as our platform grows that there's more interest in that type of things. And all the proceeds that we get with these, it's all going back into the podcast, right? None of it's going into our pockets. So it'd be cool to see something, a charity maybe, if with our sales, donating a dollar figure or a percentage of sales to a certain hockey charity or something like that. So lots of stuff going on here. We're taking it day by day, week by week.
But we're loving the ride, so thanks for sticking with us this far. Hope you enjoy this episode. I know we did. And now to end things off, my good buddy Darian Groundwater, this is his song, Red Corolla. Look him up on Spotify, Raid Audio.
Thank you again for everybody tuning in. And
PP3 out! My faded soul.